this is why I say the justice system is broken, is that we want to criminalize kids for doing kid behavior, okay? But yet we have adults who make weapons accessible to children, who then take those weapons and they murder other kids or teaching staff with that, and then yet we go, ah, there's nothing we can do about it, you know? Bullshit. Mm. Absolutely not, you know? So you, at the same breath, our justice system wants to criminalize kids in schools for getting in a fist fight, for assaults, but yet a kid who grabs a weapon from mom or dad who are irresponsible gun owners and hurts someone with it, they don't want to hold the parent accountable, the adult accountable. That has to change. There has to be federal law that states that those individuals are now held accountable. And kudos to Oxford, right? Kudos to the judicial system in Michigan who held Dylan Crumbly's parents responsible, as they should have. The rest of the states should take note, and you should follow suit, because as a Second Amendment advocate, someone who owns tons of weapons, right? Sports shooter, hunter, teach my kids about gun safety, all those things. Have I been irresponsible with a weapon? Absolutely, I've been irresponsible with a weapon, and I'm a professional. Making a weapon accessible to a child, if I were irresponsible and I made that weapon accessible to a child or to anyone else and they did harm with it, that's on me. That is on me. That's what responsible gun owners are supposed to do. You accept responsibility for that. And whatever those consequences are, you take them, right? And you take your medicine and you move forward. But the United States and all 50 states, we've got to get out of this mindset that making people or holding people accountable who make weapons accessible to a child.
Well, let's talk about today. You and I are a perfect example. I think we're borderline. I mean, listen, we've seen people on the news or national news or whatever, and they've laid out a few guns and, you know, along the car, and the neighbor's like, oh my God, I never knew whatever, you know, that this person had all of that in there. And we look at it a little bit differently, being Texans, in the way that we hunt and shoot and everything else. And you'd look at them and be like, that guy's an amateur, right? Yeah. Like that's,
oh yeah,
right? Today, your guns aren't accessible, right? Mm-hmm. You take care of that your kids, even though arguably your kids or my kids would be able to handle a weapon better than most adults, a lot mm-hmm. of adults, right? But that's come through proper training, understanding how to safely operate a firearm, putting the fear of God in them, understanding about, you know, how things work and being out there. And there's a ton of other training that goes along with that, right?
But why are we demonized weapons as a society?
I think that people are afraid of things they don't know.
Yeah.
And so we've had, I've had the opportunity in what we do to take people shooting who have never shot, right? Mm-hmm. And what was really interesting is I had some people from Europe and from everybody else. And it's one of my favorite stories is pre 9/11, I was traveling internationally quite a bit and for work. And I traveled, had a bunch of stops through a bunch of different airports, and I had a lockblade knife in my pocket. And I got to Amsterdam, and I was in Amsterdam. And the way that airport works is you got to go through security at the gate again, mm-hmm. right?
Getting off the plane.
No. So you're in the airport, and then you're getting back on the plane. Okay. And so before you can get on a plane, they have security at the gate.
Right.
Right. Not like a main checkpoint. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going through it, and they pick up on the lockblade knife. And so what I don't know that's happening is I kind of like in there, so they're calling people. They're speaking in a language I don't necessarily understand at the time. And so this is going on. I'm getting kind of impatient and irritated. And so I'm like, you know, what is going on? And I feel kind of a bump. And I turn and I look around, and I am completely surrounded by military men with automatic weapons, right? This is a different country, obviously, I'm in. It's This person grabs the lock blade from me, and he opens it up, and he's like looking at it, and he's looking at me intently, and looking at the knife, and going back over everything else. And I'm like, man, I've been flying all day. What's the big deal? I said, where I'm from, everybody has one of those. I'm from Texas. The entire group around me goes, oh, Texas. He folds the knife up, gives it back to me, and lets me go on the plane, right?
Yeah.
Nothing else. So there's this allure around Texas in general. And, you know, I've traveled, do you ride your horse to the airport? And,
right.
You know, all of the stuff, right? And so they come here for business, and somehow we start talking about it, and they've never shot a weapon. They've never been whatever. And so then during their trip, we figure out a way to get them somewhere. We take them clay shooting, for example, right, in a shotgun. And super intimidated, we shoot a couple rounds first, and then we start the safety training. We teach them how everything works, the mechanics, the whole nine yards. You're there, you help them, and they get to do it. And they absolutely love it. Like, love it. Like, this is like, I can totally see
why.
How this is so
what
much
the draw
fun.
Is,
like
yeah.
this is truly something that I enjoy, right?
Yeah.
And initially there was a fear, right? Yeah. There was the stigmatism around it. I would never do it. My wife's going to be upset that I did this, right? Like all of these things, and you knock down all these barriers. They learn how to safely operate a firearm. They do it, and they absolutely enjoyed it.
Well, you know, we have a mutual friend that came down a couple weeks ago who's on the far northeast of the country who we have similar but very differing political opinions, and got a phone call from him one day and just said, hey, look, you know where I stand on weapons, but with the country heading in the direction that it's going with the political decisiveness that we have,
The
violence in his community. I'm considering purchasing a handgun. I said, oh, okay. Well, a little shocked to hear that. So, but, you know, okay, whatever, right?
Not a little.
A lot shocked.
A lot of shocked.
Right? A lot shocked. You know this
You
guy.
Told me, and I was like, no.
Yeah. So I said, well, what are you thinking? He goes, well, I'm thinking about maybe a Glock 19. I said, okay, well, have you ever shot a Glock 19? I've never shot a weapon. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, why a Glock 19? I don't know. Just been reading the reviews. Seem to be a solid gun, which they are. That's what I carry every day, daily. And I said, well, before you go purchase a weapon.
Not my recommendation for someone's first concealed carry.
Yeah, for sure. But I said, before you go purchase a weapon, why don't you fly down here and I'll teach you how to shoot. And then I'll put multiple weapons in your hand and you can choose which one you like, which fits you best, you're most comfortable with. It's like, really? Yeah, absolutely, man. I just want to make sure you're doing it right. So he comes down, and man, I tell you, when we first started, you could feel the tenseness, right? And I like to think that I'm a good instructor. I you know, listen, I've been on both ends of the spectrum. I've had people yelling in my face, and then I've had really calm people. The yelling is, you know, there's a time and a place for that, you know, to increase stress, you know, inoculation. But when you're teaching an individual who's already scared, they don't need that extra pressure, right? And so, you know, we crawl, walk, run, and, you know, I'm like, don't worry about accuracy right now. Just start getting used to the mechanics, the nomenclature of the weapon, the recoil. Start talking about, you know, trigger reset and how important it is for your breathing, you know, your sight picture, all that stuff. And man, I tell you, by the end of the weekend, I had that guy feeling super comfortable. He was being very accurate with his shot placement. And towards the end, we started working on, you know, just how to pie, how to make entry into a room, you know, explaining, you know, shoot, move, communicate, don't stay in the same place, never pop your head up. One is none, two is one, you know. All of these things, and he did very, very well. And so I ended up selling him the gun that he liked most, which happened to not be a Glock 19. No, it wasn't the Glock 19. It was actually one of the cheapest handguns I have ever purchased, but one that I sincerely love because it's amazing. It's just a super easy weapon. It's accurate, you know, if something happens to it, I'm not going to be heartbroken because I haven't spent $1,500 or $2,000. It's a $300 pistol, and it works every time.
Yep.
You know? And so he did. He did a good job, you know. But
well,
there's just such a stigma around.
There is, and I would say there's even a. Since we're on the topic, there's even a larger stigma around an AR-15.
Oh God, yeah.
Right.
Oh, he shot that too.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, an AR-15, in my personal opinion, right, is the ideal weapon for youth hunting.
Oh, yeah, I agree, 100%.
Right.
Yeah.
So
super easy.
It's super easy.
Not a lot of recoil.
Not a lot of recoil. A million different types of attachments to mm-hmm. truly make the individual feel comfortable, mm-hmm. right? Very easy to silence, mm-hmm. which makes a huge difference on yeah. the comfort level of the individual, right? Especially someone brand new to hunting. Now they make attachments for your iPhone to go right over the scope, right? Mm-hmm. And you can actually record the entire time. It can actually, if you want to, you can show the whole display with the crosshairs, mm-hmm. right? I just, there's so much available to it, right? And if anybody else, you know, growing up like we did in there, we all know of or personally experienced a scoped black eye.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
From some weapon that had a ton of kick.
You
were too close to the scope.
Poor
right?
judgment on behalf of the adult who put it in your hand.
Correct. And it yeah. was almost like, sometimes it's almost like a rite of passage. Be like, all right, now you got your, you know, you got yeah. your ring, right? And it doesn't make for a fun experience. And it creates that fear.
That fear,
right?
Yeah.
And so having raised two humans that hunt, my own mm-hmm. children, right? Making that transition from a rifle to,
yeah.
you know, from an AR-15 to a rifle, they have the confidence by yeah. making that step. They both prefer.
The first gun I ever bought, my daughter, Isabella, when she turned 5, was called a Marlin Papoose. I still have it. It's a breakdown barrel 22.
Right.
And then the first pistol I ever bought, both of them, this was when we lived in Vegas. They were probably 10 and 12 years old. I bought them a Smith & Wesson semi-automatic 22 mm-hmm. because I wanted them to learn
get
how to effectively shoot, get their mechanics down, decrease the recoil so that there wasn't a lot of fear there. That
build
they master that, you know, that crawl, walk, run, build that mm-hmm. confidence. And I bought them that 22. Still one of my, both of those guns are still some of my favorite weapons to yeah. shoot because it's easy.
It is.
You know, it takes away the fear from those individuals. I think, you know, the weapons industry as a whole gets a bad rep, right? So transition, talking about AR-15s, I personally love that weapon. I own at least a half a dozen, right? I own a lot.
I'm gonna be real silent.
Well, I don't care. I mean, nobody's gonna come get them from my home, but the point is that I truly believe that the weapon gets villainized. And the reason why it gets villainized is because of its aesthetics. And it has nothing to do with anything other than, you know, there is some argument that maybe, you know, you don't need a 30-round capacity magazine. Well, you know, you don't need to be able to purchase fertilizer and diesel fuel and rent a truck and blow up the Oklahoma building.
You can buy anything.
Building as well. I mean, anything can yeah. be used as a weapon. It's sure. it's all about the intentions of the heart.
Right.
And so, you know, in regards to the AR-15, let's talk about the villainizing of the AR-15 and why. I mean, I purely believe that it's twofold. It's the aesthetics, and it's the fact that it has a 30-round capacity magazine. Now, I was talking to someone the other day, and we talk about being responsible gun owners, being a big Second Amendment advocate, understanding that it is the Second Amendment that keeps foreign armies from invading this country.
No doubt.
And those of you who want to just completely take away weapons, I will tell you, look at Europe, look at the Ukraine. The reason why Russia was able to move into the Ukraine within a matter of hours is because they did not have a well-armed citizenry. You will take away all of our weapons, we will be a target to so many people, some that are already here because of our open border policies. My point is that it's not the weapon. It's the intentions of the heart. And so like I said, I was talking to this individual the other day and I said, you know, what makes no sense to me as a gun owner is that we have other gun owners and we have other groups like the NRA. Yes, I said their name. I don't care. That are continuing to fight common sense gun laws. Not saying we need to restrict, but things that don't make sense. Let's go Alex Trebek. Things that don't make sense. The first thing that doesn't make sense to me is that, hypothetically, you have an 18-year-old kid who can walk into a convenience store and attempt to buy a tall boy beer. And he can't do it because he's 18. Because the people who make the rules, whether it be at the state or local or federal, whatever, they say that it would cloud the judgment of that child, right? Or that 18-year-old, you know,
right,
quasi-man, okay? Because I always say you're not a man until you move out of your mom and daddy's house and you pay your own bills. But, right? So, can't walk into a convenience store and purchase a tall boy beer because it clouds their judgment. But yet, he gets denied at the grocery store, at the convenience store, but he sees a gun store across the street, walks over there, looks in the gun case and says, hey, I'd like to purchase that Glock 19. Well, you can't buy that Glock 19 because it's a handgun. And you have to be 21 to buy that handgun. Okay, well, and it has a 19-round capacity magazine. All right, well, I can't buy that. Well, let me buy that AR-15. It has a 30-round capacity magazine and 2,000 rounds of ammunition. Sure, no problem. Let me ring you up. Tell me where that makes sense. It makes no sense.
It doesn't make sense. But then the question is, which way would you go? Would you change the rifle to 21 or would you change the handgun to 18?
I would change the rifle to 21. I would.
That's why I'm asking.
Yeah, I would change the rifle to 21. And I think that, you know, the naysayers, the people that you're trying to weaponize or trying to demonize the AR-15, that gives them no more argument.
Yeah, I don't think that it has anything to do with the age. Me personally, I mean, if you look at what's happened in the world, I mean, yes, there's been some situations where an 18-year-old has gone and hired it or bought it and then killed somebody. But it unfortunately, we live in a world where it's not hard to get weapons. It's stealing them, whether it's buying them from somebody who's already stole them,
you're going to get it.
Anything. So does that slow that down? Does that keep the honest man honest? Sure, it does. And given the mental brain capacity, the ability to have good, solid, rational thought as an 18-year-old is not necessarily fact. The brain's not fully developed.
Yeah, right? And that's why when you ask the question, do you change it to where the pistol you can purchase at 18 or vice versa? That's why I said, you know, you change it to where you can't buy the rifle at 20 until you're 21 also, because you've allowed the brain to further develop. You've allowed yourself to mature into hopefully an adult by the age of 21, somewhat of an adult. So that's why I said, you know, you change the age, right? So I don't know why we have lawmakers that are continuing to fight this. I don't get it. You know,
how is it that you can, and I know I'm switching on you here, but
okay,
you can go in the same gas station that you can't buy the beer at till you're 21, and now cigarettes, they're trying to move to 21, I think, that you can go buy all the CBD you want.
Yeah.
Right? And you can buy CBD, which has some variant of THC and everything else.
How about
else
we
in
just
there.
Make it 21 and, across the board?
And you can buy that all day long, right? Without any problem. And now you're essentially buying drugs, right? In some way, shape, or form. But yet then drugs are illegal, but then you could have CBD.
Yeah.
Right? It's one of these things. There's just not a lot of thought process.
Other
going
things
into
that
it.
Don't make sense to me for 200, Alex, is, you know, how is it that we can have kids that are 18 years old or 17 years old, parents can sign a waiver for them to join the United States military and go serve our country and die for our country, but yet they can't come back to the barracks and have a cold beer. I'm not saying that I agree with that. I'm just saying that we have to have some common sense injected into all of this stuff. You want to do right. You want to take away the argument as far as weapons, as far as substances, whether it be
cigarettes,
alcohol,
drugs.
Whatever, CBD. Just make the age to purchase 21. But then that takes away the argument that I make about being 18 serving your country. Maybe we make an exception for our servicemen and women. Yeah, servicemen and women. You can. You want to drink it? You want to drink at 18 years old?
Well, and the other way, the Army. One of the other ways you could do that is that could just be at a PX, right?
Yeah.
So you can buy that on base.
Nowhere else.
Right. That solves that problem real easy on that piece.
I just these are common sense things that need to be resolved. They're easy, right?
The problem is we have politicians
that don't have common sense. Yeah.